All right, I just wanted everybody. We're going to start after tonight, after I get through just here just a few more minutes. Then we're going to go into a series on outreach and soul winning. We're going to start all over again. About the time you think we're just coming to an end, we're just starting over again. That's just the way we operate. We're going to pick it back up, start talking about how to reach the lost and how to win a neighbor, and how to bring a friend to God, bring him to the knowledge of the truth. Turn with me, please, to the 6th chapter of Acts. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. That means that the handing out of food and the caring for the widows and the orphans, somebody was getting left out. What was the reason for this being left out? Were the disciples purposely trying to hurt somebody? No. Well, was somebody just trying to show favoritism? No. We had a problem with growth. The number of the disciples was multiplied. I just hope in a few months they can say that about Fort Worth. I want them to say that about this church. The number of disciples was multiplied. How many of you are going to try to multiply? You're going to try to grow. How many of you are with me? Your heart is with me. You're not satisfied to sit still. You want to grow up. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. The number of the disciples was multiplied. And there arose a murmuring. Now I come to tell you this. Every time you try to do something in growth or advancement in the kingdom of God, there will always be someone murmuring. There will always be a problem. Anytime there's a blessing, there is a counteracting problem. Someone came to me tonight, this evening, in the prayer room, and we have been working very hard in a certain situation, working hard to develop something new. I've been so excited. This week, I've been so thrilled about it. And this brother said, Brother Hammond, we've got a problem. Here we are now with the very thing that's given me all this excitement this week. I've got to turn around and deal with a problem in that thing. And it's a great outreach, soul winning situation. But it has a problem. Problems are always going to come. They're always going to be there. Let me admonish you in the name of Jesus. Don't ever let problems cause you to give up. Just because there's a problem doesn't mean that's the end of the road. If that were the case, we'd never have had automobiles. Old Henry, when he got ready to make a car, he didn't just come right off his little backyard floor room with a 1982 limousine. He didn't come waltzing out there and say, I've got it. I've got the answer. Man, we've got J70s on that thing, steel-belted radials. You ought to see the chrome down the side of that thing. Man, the first thing he drug out, mercy. You had to turn around backwards to go up a hill. The thing near, you would think it was running on a rubber band or something. It just, I don't know how in the world they made it, but that's the way they started out. And there has been an evolution of machinery in the mechanized world. The mechanical revolution and the industrial revolution of the early 1900s. This was a great, magnificent change in the whole structure of society. But be sure, they didn't start off with all the modern equipment we have today. Yesterday, I watched a man with a bulldozer work. It's astonishing what a man can do with a bulldozer. He'd come right up against a tree, and man, the tree, it was no more. He would just go down underneath that thing and just pick it right up. Well, you compare that with an old steam engine. Now, they could pull things around, but they certainly weren't pulling trees out or digging them up. All of this was an evolution that has come to pass as a result of finding new things. The airplanes that fly in the air. Brother Moberly, those things you all design out there, they're a far cry from what old Orville jumped in when he first went down there at Kitty Hawk to go flying. I mean, you couldn't make a comparison of the two. There isn't any way. Orville and Wilbur, when they got in that little outfit, what'd they call that thing? I don't know. Airplane, I think. I think they called it an airplane. Anyway, was it Kitty Hawk, North Carolina? Is that where it was? Oh, my. You know how far they went, James? In flight, approximately 12 seconds. That's right. They went 150 yards, if my memory serves me correct. That's just a little bit longer than a football field. The first successful flight. Man, I've known some folks that jump nearly that far when they're real scared, you know. And you consider, now that's how we started out. And today they'll line up 300 people and load them on a big old 747 and fly all the way across the ocean, land safely on the other side. And really, you stop and think now. You stop and think, for all of the traffic in the sky, how very few people, comparatively, die. It really is amazing. Of course, you know this. Statistically, so many more people die in automobile accidents than die in airplane crashes. Of course, somebody said, yeah, but there are not very many people flying airplanes. Well, that's not necessarily true. The air traffic situation is almost astronomical. The number of people that fly across the heavens and across the skies, they didn't just start out in that kind of a situation. That came to be because of other situations. Now, everything that happens in the New Testament and in these churches did not just happen all of a sudden. There also, in the work of God, is a certain evolution of things. And I'm going to show you. Now, when I use the word evolution, I do not use it in the sense of the term that some of you are looking at me like, oh. Now, I'm not making a mistake. The word means to evolve or to grow from one thing. I've got some folks out here that are startled. You folks think I just backslid and went to college or something. The word evolution means to grow from one thing to another, from one stage to another, to evolve out of one thing and into another. Okay? So, necessity, it has been said, is the mother of invention. Why does the farmer build a milk stool? Because it's hard to milk a cow standing up. So necessity is the mother of invention. We had some real funny milk stools. When I was a kid on the farm, our milk stool had one leg on it. So it was not just a matter of learning to milk a cow, it was also learning to balance at the same time, almost like riding a unicycle while doing several things at one time with both hands. It was a very difficult situation. And so I decided one day that we needed something better than that. So evolution evolved into a three-legged stand, because I put two more legs on that stand because I got tired of wobbling trying to milk the cow. Because every time she kicked or stepped forward toward the bucket and you dodged, you were always having to pick yourself up, and sometimes out of some very sad situations. And so it became necessary to evolve. So I evolved to a three-legged milk stand. The church, God has put a certain human element in the church that is existent. He does not expect for us to be some kind of, weird people dressed in a sheet sitting out on a hillside somewhere, gazing at the sun. You know, some folks think to be spiritual, you got to be crazy. They think to have God working in your life, you got to kind of be weird. No. The operation of the Holy Ghost to them is, and you know, that always worried me too. There was no allowance for humanity. I never did understand how those folks got dressed or how they ever tied their shoes, because they were so spiritual. All these mundane and physical things must really tie them down. And I finally learned, after I lived a while and served the Lord a while, that there is a very human situation involved in Christianity. We have to live in this hide. There's just no getting out of this flesh. And all you folks who are too spiritual to be alive, hey, I'm sorry, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And because of that, the excellency of the glory has to be God. The very idea that you can put that much of God in this hide and turn around and make it gets glory to God. But that's what he intended to do. He intended to make his spirit subject to your humanity. That's why you can get carnal. There's a difference in being human and carnal. There's a difference. To be human is to be alive. It's to breathe air. To take a drink of water, to eat food, to live, to love, to smell a rose, to thank God for a spring shower, to look up and join in song with a songbird. It is to love life in the smile of a newborn child. It is to find exaltation in the word of a poet. It is to be thankful for knowledge and to be grateful for occupation. It is to live with the knowledge that you're going to die and yet live it well enough that you can smile. All of that is important, and God did not erase that from us when he gave us his spirit. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've got this great spirit of God in an old earthen house. And so it becomes subject to barriers of time and space, in a sense. That doesn't mean that God is limited. God is not limited. His power is unlimited. But as far as we are concerned, there are just so many miles you can walk in a day. And there are just so many feet you can jump off the floor. And there are just so many books you can read in an hour. There are just so many things you can and cannot do, because there is that human limitation. And it is with us and will be with us. That doesn't mean we like it. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth. There is that certain groaning. These bars of bone groan against the unlimitedness and the uniqueness of his awesome, all-present spirit. And we would like to be free of all of this and like to go away from all of this and like to be able to sing forever and to praise forever. And one of these mornings at the redemption of these bodies, what he did from Adam through Christ for the spirit, he's going to do from Adam through Christ for the flesh. And this corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. And we shall be changed. We shall be like him. Hallelujah. Be like him. He who could walk through a wall or stand inside a room suddenly. He who one moment is there and the next moment here. He who can sprinkle blood at the foot of the cross and in a few hours be sprinkling it on the mercy seat in the heavenlies when he ascended up on high. He who gives gifts to men and the authority to use them. Hallelujah. And the expectancy that they shall not fail. All of this God gave to his church. And so they found themselves classed not only in Acts of the Apostles with great spiritual truth, but they also had great physical problems. One of them was the number of the disciples was multiplied. And when they started multiplying, they started having trouble. They couldn't take care of everybody. Somebody got left out. You say, well, there's something wrong. There should be spiritual enough that everybody should be taken care of. Well, now that's all great. The only problem was this was not a spiritual problem so much as it was a physical problem. There were just a certain amount of things they could do in a day. There are just a certain amount of people you can talk to, a certain amount of people you can see, a certain amount of things you can do, a certain amount of things you can't do. How many of you are still here? At least for the next 5 minutes or so. Just a certain amount of things. When this number of people were multiplied, there was some murmuring got going. The Grecians didn't like the Hebrews now, because their widows were neglected in the daily handouts, the food and the clothes and all these things, because they had all things common, see? Everything, they'd have brought all their money and all. Now you imagine somebody that sold his little old ranch and sold both his cars and all his suits, and all he's got left is just a burlap overcoat. And he's doing this because he loves Jesus. Amen. Now you find out now when you come to church that they're not feeding your mama. Bless God, I brought everything I got and gave it to that preacher. Laid it down at the apostles' feet. And they don't even get my mother anything to eat. When it's soup time, she don't even get to suck on the bone. Nothing. They didn't make her any sandwiches. They made them for everybody else. They didn't make her a Spam sandwich. Nothing. And she's a precious woman. She's my mother, and she's got a right to eat like everybody else. And bless God, we brought our stuff like everybody else. And they really were upset. Now, that's just about what happened. Only probably worse. If you sold everything you had, and you got, and all your family did, and somebody got neglected, would you feel badly about that? Yeah, probably would. Even with all this great spirituality you got. It's very likely that somebody would be looking somebody up. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Be careful, you ain't got that much to give away. And anytime you start throwing mud, you're going to lose ground. Now, you think I'm not waxing tonight. Waxing why? Yes. Suffice this all to say that, oh, I forgot, some of you folks cannot learn the Word of God except in a serious pain or an agony. Some of the rest of us learn it smiling once in a while. Okay? And so they did something, Brother Perryman. They did something. The 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and they said, it's not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. I'm talking about the very basic fundamental operation of the church itself. And so several years ago, I read these scriptures, and these men got together and they did these things. I looked in here for something where God told them to do this. And I couldn't find it. Maybe you can find it in that chapter there. Oh, I'm not saying that the Lord didn't anoint them. I'm not saying they didn't have the mind of Christ. I'm just saying, as far as a thunderbolt out of heaven, go boom, y'all don't wait on any more tables. You choose some deacons to do that. No, they decided to do that. And they didn't go out and find the most carnal person. Well, he don't pray anyhow. Let him make the peanut butter sandwich. He don't ever come to the prayer room so he can dust the furniture. No. They got together and thought this over, and they said, we need to look out men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and we need to appoint them over this business. Appoint. I like the word appoint. That does not mean marry. Appoint. That doesn't mean that you're tied up for life. Appoint. That means it's possible that the same people won't be doing the same thing always and forever. Sometimes in the work of God, we really get hung up on some things. Somebody does a little job and they think they own that thing forever and ever. You take that away from them, you take God away from them.
You mean I don't get to pick up trash out of the center aisle anymore?
Well, brother, we're just trying to give you a rest. I mean, I know what's wrong. You don't need me in this church anymore. No, it's not that. We really love you. And all that. No, that center aisle, that's been my job all my life. Well, I know that, but now, you know, you're getting a little older. You just don't think I pick up trash good, do you? Listen, if you want to pick up trash in the center aisle, no, that's all right. I don't want to. I mean, they own that center aisle. Center aisle belongs to them. Really, we need to learn that there are other people sometimes who have things to do in the work of God too. And if we should never serve God just for a job or just for a position, an earthly position. These men were appointed. They weren't hired. There wasn't any light that I can see that came down over them. I don't read it in the Word of God where they were pointed out by a blazing star. They didn't have six fingers and six toes. They were not unusual in any other way, except they were just men had good report. Amen. And they loved God, and they were honest, and they had some wisdom, and they were full of the Holy Ghost. And these apostles said, I'll tell you what, it's not right for us to leave the Word of God and try to take care of everything that goes on in the church. Let's look out, men, and let's have them do this work. What I'm saying here is that this was not necessarily so at the beginning, but this happened in the interim. As they went along and as they grew. How many of you think you understand what I'm saying here? As we grow and as we go along, some things change. And there are some things we do to try and accommodate the work of God that we do not necessarily do or would not necessarily do at some other time. Years ago, we used to open the service by saying, let's do this just a little bit here now. Anybody got a prayer request? Anybody got a prayer request? Now, I'm not just making fun. Does anybody have a prayer request? Somebody got a prayer? All right. Do you want to tell me out loud? Or? All right. This lady would like prayer for her husband. We'll pray for him. Well, don't forget who you are, and I'll pray for him tonight. I promise you that. As a matter of fact, we'll all pray in just a little while. Yes. Her son. Mrs. Campbell's son. She wants prayer for him. Mrs. Campbell's got some of the most beautiful flowers. I've never seen anything like it. Some of them are that tall. Beautiful flowers. I walked over there, was it yesterday or day before yesterday? Yeah, and day before. She's got tomatoes growing around trees and beans climbing up everything. I've never seen a front yard. You couldn't mow that. If you did, you'd kill the garden because it's just all garden. Flowers everywhere. Pray for her son. Who else has a request for it? Yes, Jim.
for your father who is ill. All right, someone else, a prayer request. Yes, sir. Terminal cancer. Brain cancer. Okay. Who else? Yes. For your husband's job. Now, if we... Yes, ma'am. That's right. We'll sure pray for him. Neighbors who need a job. Now, how long do you think we could go on here like this? About an hour, hour and a half. Is there anything wrong with that? Not really, because I'm listening. A neighbor who has a problem with a job. I'm listening. A man who has brain cancer. A dad who's been very ill. Prayer for a husband. I'm listening. I'm listening to all this. But I can't remember everyone. I'm trying to think of the ones I missed, and I know there's some others. You know what? I've watched churches that did not grow emotionally and didn't grow out of just little habitual things. This is not the only way God can answer prayer. Now, there's nothing wrong with speaking these things out in the congregation, but let me tell you what I have seen too, and this has not happened here tonight, but I have seen the Spirit of God totally depressed in a church by the announcing or the saying of need after need after need. After a while, it's almost depressing to listen to everything from cancer to jobs. You say, well, Brother Hamby, that's just the way it is. I know that. But we can pray about those things and God can answer them just as well. I've had trouble convincing some folks of that. Some folks won't use a prayer request card. Nobody told me about a prayer request card. I know I am not the only person in the world who ever thought of a prayer request card. But it became necessary when the number of the disciples multiplied for us to do two things. Number one, we need to know the need. Especially the leadership of the church, the eldership, those who are constantly in a vigil to take care of the church body. We need to know where the needs of the church are. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
We also need to maintain some kind of spirituality in the congregation without oppressing or depressing everybody in the world. So I decided to make a prayer request card, and I've got down here, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. And then right down here, it's got a place for a name, an address, and then it's got a little box here beside salvation and one beside healing, requests a visit, other special requests. You know what this little card has done? It has allowed us to be able to get the needs of the congregation. I have a copy of those that are on my desk, and I go through those daily. And then some of them go to the elders, the ones who request a very special visit. We check on those. Prayer request card. Those can be found right back here at the back of the church. This saves us a lot of time. When the number of the disciples were multiplied, they changed programs. They changed the situation. They did something different. These are just simple things that can help us get the need without going through a long time. I was in Nederland the other day in service, and I'm just telling you this just by way in passing. I don't know. Brother Meredith, would you say it's safe to say 45 minutes to an hour? In every service, just with the needs of the people are standing right there, one after the other after the other. I suggested to the elders, I said, I think there's a better way to do this and we can save some time and get a greater flow of the Spirit. I just want to tell you that if you have a need, writing it down on this little piece of paper is not just throwing it away. It's not putting it in the garbage can. This is a very viable tool. It's a very good plan. It works. People are healed, delivered, set free. If you write the name of the person, and the thing about this is, whereas you couldn't stand and call off 10 names in the congregation without expending a great amount of time and encroaching on somebody else's time, you can write down all the names you want. Just send a whole caravan of these with the ushers. I get them, take them to my office. They're typed off then, and some of them placed on my desk. Copies of them are placed with the elders, and we pray and seek the Lord over those things. Then we check back. I'll go back through those, and then I'll have the staff, some of the people, call back. Some of you have been called this week. Pastor Hamby's praying for you. Ask me to call and see if you're all right. Anything else you need. There's no way in the world I could answer every call in this church. You understand that? There's no way I can listen to every request, but I can read through them while you're off at work somewhere, while you're asleep somewhere. I can read through these and pray, and the Bible says the prayer of faith. It didn't say where, how, or whatever, but the prayer of faith will save the sick. All right? Everybody say amen?
Amen.
Let's talk about call for the elders of the church. The Bible says call for the elders of the church. It didn't say call the elders because they didn't have any telephones in those days. It doesn't mean call the elders. It said call for the elders. Or in other words, send word for the elders. We have a very good plan for a congregation this size. A very, very good plan for getting to your need. Now, some of you folks don't like the recording on this phone. Well, if you would, if you want me to, I can come over here and live, you know, and pick up the phone. Hello, this is Pastor Hamby, you know. But now, you know that wouldn't work. There's no, and we can't hire somebody round the clock to be over here all the time. We have that recording on there because that recording is checked periodically to see who's called in and what the needs are. And if you just simply say, I know it's just an old recording, and it seems very cold and very informal, but you've got to be fair, too, with the work of God. You've got to be fair. Just because you give me, I hate recordings. Well, I don't particularly like them either. But now, you might like your bursitis better than the recording. If you just go ahead and say, listen, I'm pretty sick. I need some help. Would you please have somebody pray for me? Now, there's one more thing in that. Years ago when we first initiated this plan, and how many of you know this plan has worked well through the years? You folks have been here. Certainly has. Some folks got upset because they called the church and said, I'm sick. And then when they didn't have somebody come visit them in the next day or so, they got real upset. Well, that church doesn't care anything about me. I called and told them I was sick. Nobody came to see about me. If you need somebody to come to your house and pray for you, you need to say when you call, you need to say, I need someone to come and check on my children. I need someone to come and pray for me. If you're calling for prayer, I believe the Lord can touch you out there while we're praying over here. That's a whole different situation. Otherwise, we're going to have people running at every little call. You know, somebody call and say, well, I've been sick. We used to try and go and knock on every door and visit everybody when they first called. That didn't work so well. We'll get to somebody's door and say, oh, we didn't intend for you to come over. We just wanted you to pray. Well, you need to make known exactly what you need. If you'll do that, a telephone is a marvelous tool. Did you know that? It's a great tool. It can be a devil. It depends on what you're spitting into it. Let's stand together, shall we? Depends on what you're spitting into one end of it and who's listening on the other end. Why can't we use this for the glory of God? You can call the church during business hours. Someone will take your request. Someone will make a note of it. Someone will be praying for you right away. If you need someone to come and pray for you, there are elders in your area who will be glad to come and pray for you, lay their hands on you. The Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise them up. But there's no need for these men to run all over town for needs that are not that important. And how many of you have ever called for prayer and somebody prayed somewhere and you were healed somewhere else? If that's true, raise your hand. If that's true, raise your hand. That's right. And there are times when somebody needs somebody. They need somebody right then. They need somebody. If you'll call for the elders of the church and make known your request, we can get to that a lot better. But you understand there isn't any way one preacher in one church. That's why so many churches have not grown. They can't listen to every call, can't run to every house. That's why I laid my hands on these men years ago. I preached to you about the power and the spirit of spiritual impartation. I believe that every gift and every manifestation of the Holy Ghost that is resident in my ministry or resident in the church is resident in these men when they come to pray for you. That's why they anoint with oil, because they represent the headship of the church. They represent the singular anointing in the church. And when they anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus, it's not just Brother Gresko praying for you. It's not just Brother Perryman or Brother Buckner. It's not just Brother Patton. It's not just Brother Weiss or Brother Cooper. They are absolutely, by the anointing with oil, they are incorporating all of the power of God in the church. And under the authority of the headship of the church, they are calling all of that power to bear. So it's not just their singular prayer. It's the total power of the church, all working under their anointed ministry and praying for the sick. Hallelujah. Had trouble at the beginning letting folks have the elders pray for them. They didn't want the elders to pray for them. They want Brother Hamby to pray for them. You know, they'd walk right around an elder and come over here. They want Brother Hamby to pray for them. I think we're doing a lot better. But what you need to realize is that it's not just Brother Hanby's prayer. But when one of these men lay their hands on you, my faith, the gifts of the Spirit in my life, the power of the congregation, the total authority and ability of the church, this is nothing new, is it, John?
Brother Lynch, we taught this years and years and years ago to the young men years ago that the anointing with oil is not just symbolic, but it does represent. It's not just symbolic, but it does represent the total authority of the church. When they anointed special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases departed out of them, and the evil spirits went out of them. They had faith in that man of God. They had faith in the man of God. And they thought if they could just get a piece of his clothes or a handkerchief or something that he had touched. Here a few years ago, I have a little habit of doing this once in a while. Somebody will come, and when I feel particularly anointed to do it, I take hand of my handkerchief that I've been mopping my sweat with. I don't blow my nose on it. Just hand it to him. Say, here, take that. Put it in the pillow. One gentleman, I didn't know him, never had seen him. His wife came and said, you've got to pray for my husband. I've got to have help. I said, here, take this. Put it in his pillowcase. He won't even know it's there. Put it in his pillowcase. Whatever prayer I've got, whatever authority I have in the Holy Ghost will work on him all night long while he's sleeping. The only problem is he didn't sleep for 2 weeks. As long as she kept that handkerchief in there, he couldn't sleep. About 2 weeks later, he repented. Came to God, was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God can use anything we trust him to use, anything we have faith in him to use. A prayer cloth. If you know somebody who is particularly ill, if you'll check at the office, they'll give you a prayer cloth. Okay? I don't think I'm a great apostle, and I don't think that I am somebody super or great, but simple obedience to the plan of God. It worked in the Bible. Worked in the Bible. Hey, I've prayed many a prayer in these old shirts that are cut up. You know that? Those are white shirts I preach in. Many a prayer. I've preached many a sermon from the Word of God. I don't think I'm special at all, but God's anointing is special. His anointing is special. And if someone has faith, I cannot tell you the hundreds of people across this country who have been touched and healed and delivered and set free by just a little old simple prayer cloth. All right? And so if you know someone like that, then you need to take one of these to them. This is a new believer's card, a new convert's card. We need to get one of these for every person that comes here. A baptismal certificate. This shows the whole world you're baptized in Jesus' name. You may be called upon sometime to prove that you are who you are. And believe it or not, the state recognizes a baptismal certificate. You may need that sometime. It sure will not take your sins away, but the name you're baptized in will wash away sin. Every new member of the church should fill out and must fill out a membership registration card. We are required by the state to have what is called a roster of the membership of the church. Someday, if you're called upon, do you belong to a church? Are you a part of a church? We know you are by spirit, but by authority, you are not a member of the congregation if you are not on the roster of that congregation in an incorporated church in the state of Texas. We must have your name and address. Furthermore, we need you on file so we can contact you, so we can send letters to you, so we can get information to you. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You folks now that got a little chip on your shoulder who won't call the church because you don't like a recording, now that's a bad attitude. We're trying to take care of everybody, and this is one of the ways we can do it. You need to help us. Some of you folks that called and needed somebody to check on you here a few years ago, and you didn't get somebody as soon as you thought, so you're not ever going to call again. Don't do that. That's a bad attitude. If you need help, you let us know. You say, well, I'm not talking to anybody if I can't talk to you. Well, you probably won't be talking to anybody. Because it's not meat. It's not meat. The disciples said it a long time ago. It is not meat to leave the Word of God. And you believe me, it's a full-time job finding spiritual direction and having the Word of God for a congregation like this and being able to move ahead and move forwardly. And if I busy myself constantly with sitting at the telephone and trying to answer every little question and take care of every detail, then all of this Malta ministry that we have in this church is in vain. And we miss one of the great, great truths and precedents set in the Word of God, and that was they ordained elders, plural, elders. Let's all say elders. In every city, it said call for the elders, plural, of the church. They're going to anoint you with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise you up. Let's use the Bible plan because the number of the disciples was multiplied. They had to improvise. There are some things we do because we are saving time, saving effort, and sometimes saving lives. There are a whole lots of folks here who have authority and ability. Please, Let's work by the operation of the local church in our need. And don't let that become a burr in your saddle or a briar under your saddle. Don't feel like you're getting left out or you're not getting attention. Somebody told me here a few weeks ago, they used this for a very legitimate excuse. They said, "Brother Hamby, we just feel like if we can't talk to the pastor of the church at least once a week, we don't belong in that church." I said, "How long do you have to talk to the pastor once a week?" And they said, "Well, about 5 or 10 minutes at least." I said, "Okay, 5 or 10 minutes. Does somebody need to talk to me?" I said, "What do you want to talk to me about?" I said, "I've got problems and I want to talk to you." I said, "Okay, once a week for 5 or 10 minutes. And I said, "Now let's take that times 1,200, 1,500, times how many minutes? 5 minutes? I don't have enough minutes to breathe. I can't even get in bed or out of bed. It's impossible." How many of you understand what I'm trying to say to you? It's impossible. It's impossible. We need to use some of the tools that we have that are given us because of improvision. Because we have multiplied. Turn around and look here. We've multiplied. We have lots of people to take care of. Let's shake hands a little bit, shall we? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh.